We back. It's bread time. Yeah, it's been a while since we've actually recorded a bread time, so we're pretty excited about it today. And we have a hot topic coming out the gate, which is the Apple Touch Bar, which isn't a hot topic at all, actually. But we have a contention. We've been fighting back and forth nonstop for weeks now whether the Touch Bar is any good. And Gabe, for some bizarre, weird reason, likes the thing. And I don't like it at all. So we're going to fight about it here today on Bread Time.
Okay, so
tell us why the Touch Bar is so good.
The Touch Bar is not only good, it's delightful.
Oh my god.
Like, okay, so I think the bugs happen when you plug in the cinema display. That's when things start fucking up. But put that aside for a second. Like, the idea of a Touch Bar is incredible. I'm gonna tell you why. So basically, there's this concept of input, right? How do you interact with the content in front of you? We throughout decades we developed this concept of a keyboard, and then we had a mouse, and we like this concept, I think, mainly because you do small movements that get exaggerated on screen. So there's an amplification of movement when you're interacting with technology. And when phones came around, they're like, no, forget about that. It's one-to-one. The movement you make on your finger, that's the actual translation to movement on the device. I think that it is a dead end when it comes to desktop computing. So what does that mean? How can we actually have amplified interactions in a desktop environment? And I think the Touch Bar is the perfect, not perfect, but I think it's a really good execution of that. What it is a modal design pattern, right? That means that under different programs, the Touch Bar will behave differently. So now I see myself opening programs and it's like, what will the Touch Bar do now? I open Keynote and it shows me something different than if I open Spotify. And usually when I'm like, oh, I wish I could do this, I look down and it's there. It's in the Touch Bar. And I can just do it right there. So like on Spotify, I can like press the Touch Bar and I can scrub it. You know, in Keynote, I can see a preview of the next few slides, so I can just jump to that slide and so on. And it is customizable, right? So I can now take this artifact, which was the keyboard, and I can customize it to whatever I want. So I see myself really enjoying using it. And I see that as an opportunity to have way more intuitive interaction. So things that we're used to, like taking a screenshot, Command Shift 4, like that is an arthritis creating interaction. The Touch Bar now is just a button, and a button that shows a camera for like taking a quote unquote picture of the screen, right? And you press that button and now you're in screenshot mode. So you can select where you want to go into the clipboard, or whether you want to take a screenshot of the whole thing or not. These are all very natural ways of interacting with that mode that were before hidden in some sort of weird interaction with this archaic input device, which is the keyboard, right? You have to press like three keys, and sometimes you have to press a fourth key if you want to add that screenshot to your clipboard. All that is gone now. I mean, you can still do it, but there is now a more intuitive way of doing it. And that is only possible through the liberation from the hardware keys of a keyboard and this like or modal Touch Bar.
That was a great opening argument. I can't wait to spend the rest of the episode breaking it down and showing you how wrong you are. I'll start from this angle. This has been introduced on the MacBook Pro. It's been introduced on the Pro line of laptops. I feel like I kind of am probably a pro user. I don't need this device at all. I find like what you were saying about like the amplification, that's what keyboard shortcuts are. That's what they do. They're faster. They never change position. They're always there. Like I feel very in control when I use it. I have tactile feedback that I successfully did it. I don't have to look down or change anything. It's faster. Would you disagree with that?
I mean, I don't disagree that it is that for you, but I would add to that they're often very, very hard to discover and remember.
Great. Pro users don't care. if this had been introduced on the MacBook, maybe I would be like more sympathetic to it, because it's like, okay, this is the MacBook's way of like allowing people to use those hidden features, right?
Sure. I mean, where you introduce it, I have less of an opinion on. I think eventually the whole thing is going to be a interaction screen, right, where you make small gestures that get translated to the display screen in front of you. And this is just the first step, right? This is a way for Apple to say, hey, remember that row of F keys that nobody ever used? Now you actually, like, now there is actually use for them. And we can start introducing you to the concept of this input section changing depending on where you are within the US.
I would argue that people were using the function keys. They actually all had a function. There was one called volume that I think literally everyone has used.
Sure, but even that was a different take on the regular function keys. Like, well, I mean, I come from Windows where those F keys don't have any fucking use at all, or at least not that I can remember. And I found them refreshing when I transitioned to Mac, like eons ago, that you can, like, now, like, F7, 8, or 9, whatever, those are like the volume keys, but you're no longer thinking of them as like keys or F3 or whatever. You're thinking of as modes that you put your computer on, and that's the right mindset. And I think this is just a more congruous way of thinking that way.
Okay. Argument number two. So I think you're in love with how contextual the touch bar is. Like, it is a modal and it is per app, per experience. What I think is a failure about that is there are certain things that I want to be everywhere, like system level events that aren't there. Like, they're folded down onto the right side now. And so, for example, Exposé, which I used very much as a function key, like literally hundreds of times a day, probably. It has been very difficult for me to get used to not using it in that way anymore. So what I'm trying to say is that there's certain things that have been limited about the system level functions, which I don't think had to be. Like, I think you and I both, I think we might agree on this. They put it in the wrong spot. Like, the function row is, like, I understand why they put it there, because these are less used keys and we can do something with them. But I think we've had this conversation before, which is, like, maybe another spot might have been, like, in the touchpad, which is already where I'm doing touch impact, or on the screen itself, which is where I am looking, right? Those are both potentially better places to have these interactions.
Yeah, no, I don't think the screen itself is better, but maybe in between the trackpad and the keyboard, I think that might be a better one. But I think it does make sense to have it in the bottom. Like, assuming that the future, 5 or 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, the future of computer interaction will remain having an area that's where your hands rest, that you can have small gestures that get translated into big actions in a screen that is in front of you. Assuming that that is a pattern that's here to stay, I think it makes sense that that area that you interact with is modal and contextual to whatever program you have on, right? So I think for that future, I think it does make sense to have the touch bar in that area. And I think it's just a matter of time until that touch bar bleeds into the rest of the keyboard, right? Especially as the line between a button and a screen becomes more and more blurred, which I think the keyboard is getting pretty close to that.
I think I get, like, why it was a compromise to put it in that row, but, like, My thinking is that if I'm looking at the screen, I don't want to look at a new thing. And the cool thing about the keyboard was I never, like, look at the keyboard for the quick keys, right? So it's a loss there. If it was in the touch bar, if it was in the touch pad, it's a further distance for me to look to see what I'm about to touch. But I am, like, usually touching that thing, so it's not a stretch. Like, a stretch off of the keyboard onto the touch bar is, like, something that I don't like. And looking away from the screen is something that I don't like. So there were probably, like, other ways that this could be done as well. But, like, reaching up to the screen makes sense for when I want to have that direct input to me, because reaching up to the touch bar requires me looking and touching anyway. So I don't see much loss there.
I see where you're coming from. I think that a lot of pro users don't look at the keyboard when they operate their computer. But the try to explain to your grandma how to take a screenshot in your MacBook Pro. Just, like, go through that exercise in your mind. Like, that's fucking impossible. Like, and have them remember that. It's crazy. And the screenshot is such a fundamental thing you do with computers, right? Like, it's so much more logical to have a mode that you can access through your screen.
Ironically, F5 is how you do a screenshot in Windows, if I remember correctly.
But that doesn't make any sense either.
I know. I just want to let you know. Oh, no, there was no, like...
That's not even it. That's the way you refresh.
Yeah, okay, never mind. It was like there was a button, which is print screen. Yeah, right? Okay.
Which print screen copies your screenshot into your clipboard. Then you got to go into Paint, paste it, and then you can print. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, these systems need to evolve as we start using them, right? And each app has its own vocabulary, and trying to fit that vocabulary into this rigid structure that a keyboard is, I think, is a dead end. Like, that's how you see, like there's so many weird modes. Like, in Photoshop, you press V to enter the pointer mode. That doesn't make any sense at all, like, at all. Right. And so people make these covers that you put on top of the keyboard that put in whatever tool you access by pressing each key or whatever. Like, people are trying to bend themselves backwards to support all these modal ways of interacting with programs that I think the hardware itself can adjust and become more contextual. I mean, that was the magic of the software keyboard on the iOS devices.
Okay, let's talk about the escape key and the power button / touch ID.
Yeah.
Escape key is a loss. Would you agree with that?
It's a travesty, yeah.
That one's hard to deal with, right?
I mean, the escape key is the home button, right? And it is an absolute crime that the home button is what it is in iPhone 7. There are certain things that should feel like buttons, that should feel like a lever that you can put at any moment and go back to a place where you're comfortable. And because they don't feel like buttons, I feel they feel unreliable.
You, as a Touch Bar fan, would you have felt better about the Touch Bar if they just left a hardware escape key there?
Yeah, give me one way to escape. It doesn't have to be in the top left. I can readjust my muscle memory. Like, give me a home button in the bottom center, or like, you know, give me some other way of exiting, of like short-circuiting the software and going all the way to a root level. Like, I think that's one of the most brilliant piece of design decisions of the iPhone, is that, sure, there's a keyboard that you can access and all these apps and all this stuff, like all these new worlds of things, but at any moment, under any experience, I can just press one button, the only button, and go back to the top, right? I think that is pretty brilliant, and I miss it now.
For me, the escape key after weeks now has been a continual disturbance, because I use it a lot in a lot of the applications that I use the majority of the day. So moving up like folders in Sketch is like kind of brutal now. I don't know how to deal with it. I'm tapping this thing and I'm looking at the little ESC every time I tap to make sure that I did it successfully. That's pretty frustrating. And like writing code, I use Escape a lot. Touch ID. Across the board, Touch ID is an upgrade from entering a password. Would you agree?
Anything that kills passwords is a win. Oh, the problem is that it doesn't work all the time.
That's my problem.
But when it works, it's incredible. Like, when it works, I'm always grateful.
Like, this is the continuing story, though, of like Apple software development. It's like the iPhone pretty much registers my Touch ID at like so close to 100% ratio that I'm like, cool, it's going to work. Like, I have a good feeling when I use it, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised at like how bad the ratio is on the laptop. Like, they've had years to really like understand this technology, but for whatever reason, it seems far less successful.
Yeah, that sucks. But when it works, I mean, it's just a matter of time, right? I mean, maybe I'm being optimistic, but like, it's just a matter of them tuning it so that it does work. When it does work, like, that is such a step forward in terms of like how you interact with your laptop. Not only unlocking it, but like downloading programs into it and granting access in certain situations, like Apple Pay, all these things. Like I think it's just a matter of time until this is a great, great thing for laptops.
I agree. Okay, across the board here, you've made some cases for the Touch Bar. I still don't want to use it and don't like it and find it to be a hindrance. Can you see my point of view?
I mean, I can see it, but I think what is preventing us from really diving full on with the Touch Bar is the fact that we're used to a way of doing things already, right? We're used to, you know, Command-Shift, F4 or whatever, or Convention 4, whatever the fuck it was. Like, we used to ways to use the computer that were not natural, and we've naturalized them. We've gotten used to them to an extent where we're like, oh yeah, that's the way you do things. Of course, the way you do expose is you press this random F3 button, mm-hmm. right?
Well, there's other ways to do it. I there is a better way to do it. Well, one could consider a better way, which is spreading your fingers on the trackpad. I've taken that one on as my primary one now, but I still don't like it as much as hitting the button. The button was instantaneous, and after I had hit it, it was done. I don't think I'm like holding on to like legacy stuff because I think it is the way I've done it. I'm holding on to it because it's faster.
Okay, well, let me flip this on you. What about taking a screenshot? Do you think that is an improvement, the way you take a screenshot today?
I think using the quick keys for a screenshot, the way I do it, is the fastest way to do it. I don't think it's the most intuitive way. I agree with you there, but it is definitely faster.
Okay, so which one do you prefer?
I prefer speed.
Okay, well, I prefer a design system that is attuned for everyone, not just...
That would be great on the MacBook.
Maybe. Okay, fine. Maybe we can't win there. What about like when there's added functionality, right? So like in Keynote, or I don't know, having access to emojis when you're typing something, or like in Sketch, certain tools are now surfaced. That's something that would be impossible with the old way of doing things.
Well, not really. I mean, there's a modal that I can activate through a keyboard shortcut for emojis that's on my screen right next to the text field, right?
How can you explain to people how to get to that modal? Like control, command, space? Like who the hell knows that? Nobody knows that.
Some of the best emoji people out there know it.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Like if you really want to unlock
I get it. Like I understand what the touch bar is for. It is for this. It is for teaching the capabilities that are hidden behind these like layers of...
I think that's one of them. But the other option, the other benefit is all these... programs that have very unique workflows, like Sketch, like Final Cut Pro, Logic, Keynote, you know, all these pro programs that are basically where you create things using a very specific workflow, they can benefit from like bleeding into your keyboard and giving you different ways of doing things that you couldn't be. And like Keynote, for example, like it's a very simple program, but when you're playing in a presentation, you can now skip like 2 or 3 slides forward and backwards. If I told you that if you press like Command-Shift-Alt-7, you could do that. What's better, doing that, which theoretically would be faster, or staying like in the touch bar, there's like a simple button for you to press? We're now giving developers the option of telling them, hey, this is here are some tools you can use for using this program in a way that you couldn't before.
So this was probably like the point of the conversation internally at Apple, where like some people were against this thing and some people were for it. They saw the optimism of it, and some people were like, we have to take these hits for it, right? And then at this point the decision was made, okay, we care about the future and we care about opening these, like, it's always better to open up technologies to people so that they can use it. And the people in the meantime are going to take the hit, right?
Totally. Yeah. And maybe that's why I like it. It is clearly a future phasing move. And it may be a little awkward now, especially as we try to transition from the old way of doing things to this new way. And it may not work entirely with the rest of the computer. But like, look at what they did, man. Like they added the touch bar and they made the trackpad gigantic. That means that like now you can have touch-based interactions with your computer in like 30% of that area. Like what used to be a very rigid way of interacting with the computer, now it's like very fluid, and it characterizes itself for being fluid. So that 30% or whatever it is now, I suspect will only grow and grow and grow. And the things that are rigid will become smaller until it's just one single home button.
Okay, one more question. So on a laptop, the keyboard is always hinged off of the screen. You have like a definitive amount of space between them. Like a home computer, like an iMac or something like that, has a separated keyboard. Do you think this will ever be introduced for those type of machines?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's like a further distance to even look now, right?
I think the argument that people don't look at their keyboards is like a fraud argument.
What about the battery argument?
Was that
like putting that thing in a keyboard is going to require so much more battery? You'll have to charge it like literally every day.
Yeah, but batteries get better with time. Like technology is just technology. It will get easier and faster and smaller. Like, that's not the problem. The problem is how we adapt to it and does it make sense within our lives. And I think without question, we'll see a magic keyboard that has a touch bar in the next couple of years.
I hope not. Thank you very much for listening to us argue about the touch bar. I still feel very uneasy about it, and Gabe still seems to love it. So
we clearly made a lot of progress in the last episode. We're at vastly different points than when we started. But if you want to make progress, reach out to us, and we'll add you to our Slack extravaganza. We're at BrettTimeFM on Twitter. BrettTime.fm on the interwebs, and moonapp.me if you're too lazy to look outside and look at the moon.
Thanks for plugging my shit.